Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. And happy Mother's Day, everyone. Drew asked me last Sunday if I had anything prepared or if I could share on Mother's Day. And so I guess I'll be sharing on Mother's Day, which is a little bit awkward to be honest, but it's good. Mercy, I was thinking about, we were talking about mercy for Sunday school. And I want to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she's the one that mothered mercy, basically. There's not a whole lot in the Bible about Mary, although she's highly esteemed, especially by the Roman Catholic Church. And they come up with lots of things about her that I'm not really sure how they do. Like she always was a virgin, and some things like that. And I'm not totally sure how they pull that out. But I would like to look at what we do know about Mary. So you can turn to Luke 1, even though it's not Christmas. And just a few things, a few times that she's mentioned in the Bible. She's obviously mentioned at the birth of Jesus. She's mentioned in the story where Jesus stayed behind at the temple and they were frantically trying to find her. She's mentioned when Jesus turned water into wine. Mary actually kind of prodded him into doing that. And a few times throughout his ministry at the crucifixion and at Pentecost. But after that, she pretty much disappears from the Bible. But a few things we do know about her. She was a spouse to Joseph. And Luke 1:28. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So she was highly favored, the Lord was with her, and she was blessed. That's what Gabriel told her when he came and told her about what her call in life was, to raise Jesus. And he also told her about Elizabeth. I think that's in verse. Oh, and then Mary's response to Gabriel was, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. So, I get the impression that Mary was a listener, and maybe a ponderer, a thinker. But she went ahead and went to see her cousin Elizabeth that Gabriel told her about. And Luke 1:39-40. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And if you, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but if you keep on reading, it talks about how John jumped in Elizabeth's womb. And there's kind of a time of rejoicing and a little bit of prophecy. And it just reminded me of that excitement when a woman finds out she's pregnant and the talking back and forth between peers and just that excitement and talking and thinking about the future. And so I think we lose a little bit of perspective of the humanism of Mary. She was a person just like us. And she went on this journey to the hill country, I don't know how far it was, and went to see her cousin Elizabeth, and she spent 3 months there. I just get an impression of a time of talking, and I think they were excited about going through the same stages of life, maybe. So she stayed there till John was born, I believe. It's like 3 months. Luke 46:48. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. This is when, right after Elizabeth had prophesied about Jesus, and Mary maybe was recognizing a little more of the weight she had on her to raise Jesus. I was just thinking about that, how much responsibility Mary had. But then also thinking how the mothers, all mothers have that responsibility. We're not all raising Jesuses, but we're all raising children to be like Jesus. And that's kind of a weight that maybe we don't often think about, that a mother has a lot of responsibility to direct their children to live for Jesus, and all the weight that goes along with that. Then Mary goes to Bethlehem. I don't know how far that was, how far along she was, but she had to be a strong woman to do that, to travel with Joseph all the way to Bethlehem while she was pregnant. And then when she gave birth, she didn't have a birth plan. She didn't have a personal doctor, I don't think. I don't think there's any of the comforts of home, and probably not even relatives to be with her. And definitely not that great of accommodations where she had to give birth. Then right afterwards, or seemingly right afterwards, she was intruded by a bunch of stinky shepherds. I don't know, she was a woman just like the rest of you here, and I'm sure that affected her. Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. This was right after the shepherds had went around and spread the news about Jesus, and there was all this excitement going around. It says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think she had some intuition by then that something big was happening. I think all mothers have that intuition about their children, that they kind of maybe know a little bit what's going on in their lives. People were making a big deal about Jesus. And I wonder if maybe Mary knew that there was going to be some weight, some responsibility, maybe some grief that went along with this. Luke 2:48. This is right after they're traveling home from the temple, and they realize that Jesus is not with them. And they went back and found him there at the temple, and he was talking with the wise men and stuff. And this was Mary's response. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I think that was only a natural response, that Mary was worried about Jesus. He was 12 years old, seemingly old enough to know better. He should have been with them. And Mary worried about her. That's it's okay for mothers to worry about their children, I think. That's natural. Mary did it. There's this natural tendency to always want to know where their child is. That's normal. John 2:3-4. Chapter. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I think this story is very interesting in that you get the idea of Mary, and obviously Jesus was there too at this marriage, and they're out of wine. And I think Mary and Jesus had a relationship, and Mary knew what Jesus was capable of. And she comes to Jesus and basically says, Hey, do your thing. And Jesus is like, No, I'm not ready yet. I think that's something that mothers do, is they push us out of our comfort zones and get us out there doing what we should be doing. And maybe I'm taking that a little bit out of context, but you kind of just get this a little bit of a glimpse into the relationship where Mary actually kind of pushes Jesus and says, go do this. And Jesus is like, well, I'm not, my time is not yet. I want to read. Other people are better at saying things than I am. And one of my aunts had an article on Facebook that I thought was good. And I just want to end with reading it. It starts, it's actually like a picture, or I think it's a statue that somebody made. And it's kind of talking about that too. So there's a picture of that to start off with. As we head into Mother's Day, I think it would be worthwhile to reflect on the story told by the most powerful depiction of motherhood and one of the greatest works of art ever produced by human hands, Michelangelo's, I'm not sure how to say his name's masterpiece, the Pieta, portrays Mary cradling Jesus in her arm after he was taken down from the cross. So it's a statue of Mary holding Jesus after he was crucified. Imagine the motherly pride flowing from her heart as she saw her son make the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of mankind. Imagine her pain as she watched him in unthinkable agony, abandoned by almost everyone who had once followed him. There were only a few people who stood by Jesus in his final moments. How appropriate and how beautiful that one of them was his mother. This is what a real mother does. She sacrifices, she endures, she suffers, she loves. Sometimes I think we lose the sight of the human element in the story. We've heard it a million times, so we gloss over it and begin to see it as something distant and abstract. But Jesus really died on that cross, and his mother really stood there helplessly watching as her son was tortured and murdered right in front of her. She must have thought back to that prophecy she had been told in the temple all those years ago. Your sword will pierce your soul. Luke 2:35. And that is how it must have felt, like a blade cutting through her body and into her innermost being. I think all mothers and fathers can relate to this to a certain degree, some more closely than others. Many mothers have experienced the incomprehensible torment of watching their children die slowly in a hospital bed, or quickly after a car accident, or some sudden tragedy. Many mothers have suffered through the agony of miscarriages, losing children they never had the chance to know or name. Most have felt, if not the pain of losing a child through death, still the pain of losing their children to the inevitable passage of time. A mother feels profound joy as she watches her child grow from a baby in her arms to a toddler waddling clumsily around the house, to an older kid with a greater sense of independence, to a teenager, to an adult. But that joy is mixed with bittersweet flavor of change and the tinge of loss. Her child breaks off pieces of her as he grows, and he carries them with him unknowingly. As she is left to live with the little holes he leaves behind. If the unthinkable happens and the child dies, she will feel as though he has carried her whole being with him into the grave. This is what it means to love someone the way a mother loves a child. It means to give them your entire self, suffering as they suffer and going as they go. All of this is perfectly exemplified by the story of Jesus and Mary. Modern society tells girls to look to pop stars and businesswomen for inspiration. They ought to look to her instead. To the foot of the cross, to the pain and beauty, redemption and love, to mother and her son. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the mothers you have given us. Thank you for the love and the care that they show to each one of us. Help us to appreciate them and support them in the way that we should. Pray that you be with the mothers who may have suffered loss or longed for children or whatever the case may be. Pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of them. Pray that you could fill those holes in their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us and that you came to us through a mother who could exemplify what a mother should be. Pray that you be with us today and throughout the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.